we the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, let's go! We are here. The weekend is here. The 49ers will play the Chiefs this weekend. And we got a lot to get into. Yeah. That's my thought. These are Brock's 49ers, and that's different. Doesn't mean they're going to win. Doesn't mean anything. But I started thinking about this, and I just started to sort of like push back against the idea that this is some big monkey on the back of the 49ers. Sure, there's a few players. I get it. That's what Fred says. That's what George says. That's what Debo says. And I imagine that that's what Kyle Shanahan says. So they can feel that, and they can feel Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and all of that. But it made me feel a little bit more confident in the 49ers' chances to think about the fact that I believe that Brock's Niners are a different entity than Jimmy's Niners. Both of them are good. Both of them have also been not good enough in these situations. But that's a different thing, Brock's Niners as opposed to Jimmy's Niners. So that to me means that for this particular group, because I do put that level of importance on the quarterback. That's just the way I feel about NFL football. Look at the Miami Dolphins this year. They're one thing, their quarterback gets hurt, and they are literally mush. They're oatmeal. They can't play because their quarterback is out. So that's how I feel about most NFL teams, and that's the level of importance I put on the quarterback, and therefore the win streak between these Chiefs and these Niners is one. They played once, and it was a very, very close game. A great game, went to overtime. A frustrating game that the Chiefs were able to win. But this time, the 49ers are at home. And this time, God, I'd hope they're the more motivated team. They need this one a hell of a lot more than the other team does.
I find that analysis to be too simplistic for me because, you know, the Jimmy Garoppolo Niners that face Kansas City, Jimmy was really good. And was he Brock Purdy? No, but was he like half as good as Brock? No, he might be 90% as good as Brock at the time in that offense, and he did the same thing that Brock did. He went and played Kansas City, and he lost. And for me, the thing that gives me staying power and makes me think about this matchup is that a lot of the people who were there then are there now. And Kyle was there then, and Andy was there then, and Mahomes was there then, and Spagnuolo last year was there then, and so you could look at all the things that are still there, and that for me becomes more telling than just the fact that your quarterback is, what, 5% better than Jimmy G at peak Jimmy, 10%, 20%. Cool. Jimmy was really good when he played in the Super Bowl against Kansas City. And I'm surprised that you're being
I don't agree with that.
So dismissive of what he was at the time.
I'm not. This is not about Jimmy. This is about Brock. He is a way better nobody ever.
But you're not remembering where Jimmy was at that time.
Yes, I am.
Jimmy in this offense, he was equal to Brock in that they also had a 10-point lead.
All of the stuff that, 20-10. It's not like he was running the ball up and down the field. This is a guy that got to the Super Bowl with his coach telling him, you're going to pass the ball 8 times today. Let's not get it twisted. I can sit here and tell you that back in that day, I thought that Jimmy was a good quarterback and at times disrespected. But I've never, ever thought of him the way that I think of this quarterback. This quarterback's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. This is one of the best quarterbacks in the game. Jimmy was never that. His team was good. And when people look back at the 2019 Super Bowl, they forget some of the key plays that would have won the game. They'll get mad at Kyle for either running the ball or not running the ball. They'll think about Jimmy overthrowing Emmanuel Sanders. They'll think about Nick Bosa was held, and they'll think about Tyreek Hill and down the left sideline. What they don't know is that Jimmy Garoppolo dropped back on a third down, and George Kittle was by himself down the seam in a play that was schemed perfectly by Kyle Shanahan, and the man never saw him. Number 10 never saw him, never delivered the ball, and the 49ers lost. The game ends if he delivers that ball. It's over. It's a first down, and you're starting to think about taking knees. So this, to me, and I get it, you can think whatever you want, but I put that level of importance on the quarterback, and I see this as a very different entity for which I give many, many more expectations. This team should be thought of as a higher level entity than anything that was underneath Jimmy Garoppolo, because they can do more things. It's no different than when Christian McCaffrey comes back. The 49ers are a good team without him, but there's a bunch of stuff they can't do. That's how I feel about Jimmy Garoppolo's Niners. They're good. There's a bunch of stuff that they can't do that now they can. And so, yes, I give them a much better chance to battle the likes of the Chiefs or the Eagles like they did last year in moments like this than I do Jimmy's Niners, even though they were very good.
Well, the team that he faced was better than the team that Brock faced last year in the Super Bowl, and Jimmy had a 10-point lead late, and Brock had a 10-point lead in the second quarter, and neither one of them could close it out. So you could look at rosters and teams and situations, and you could say that, you know, Brock is 0-1, which he is against Kansas City, but I look at the bigger trend, which is Shanahan versus Andy Reid, and that is where you get four straight losses, and whether it's Spagnuolo or a different defensive coordinator, different OC, different everything other than Mahomes and Andy Reid, and you've not been able to get over the hump against this team.
But I don't think that Shanahan with Brock is the same coach as he was with Jimmy Garoppolo, the same way Andy Reid was not the same coach with Donovan McNabb that he is with Patrick Mahomes. So, in theory, Kyle Shanahan should be a better coach this year than he was 4 or 5 years ago, because he's got more stuff. He's got more stuff to work with. There's more options on the field. You know, I'm not pointing actually to any specific game. I'm pointing to a much broader picture. I just happen to think that this is a 49er team we should be able to expect more from than what we did when Jimmy was there. They've got better players. They've got way better players now, certainly on offense, than they did back then. That team had a better defense than this one does right now. This team misses Dre Greenlaw terribly. Terribly, terribly misses Dre Greenlaw. Like, that's a huge deal. And certainly that has an effect on this game. But I this is something that I wanted to play with today. And I wonder how you would fill in the blank. And 888-957-9570, we'd love for you to do this. I just put it out on Twitter. You can pick either one. The Niners will win because, fill in blank, or the Niners will lose because, fill in blank. And I would argue, I believe the Niners will win, one, for a silly, simple reason, which is they're at home, right? You got perfect conditions this weekend, they're at home, and you're favored. But in pro sports, when one team needs it more than the other team, they usually get it. That's usually. So I put that in the 49ers' favor, because they are going to be much more desperate in this game than the Chiefs will be. But the other thing that I think is an extension of that is what we're talking about here. I think we've only seen Brock's 49ers go up against this defensive coordinator one time. It was a mixed bag of results, but I think for the most part, for the most of the game, good enough. Good enough to where they coulda and shoulda and all of those things, but didn't. How do we project that forward to this weekend? I think it is likely, call it a 65% chance, that the 49ers score more points than the Chiefs this weekend. That's all.
That's pretty high for me.
Okay.
You talk about a coach who's 21-3 off a bye, Andy Reid. So no matter who he's facing, Niners, Kyle, Brock, Jimmy, whoever else he's facing, off a bye, he tends to win almost every time. Actually, 21-4 is the actual number, so 84%. And that includes road games, home games, Niner games, whatever game it is. Andy off a bye tends to win all the time. And you look at last year in the Super Bowl, the Niners went up 10-0. And yeah, they had a fumble, and they didn't score. And then McCaffrey did score, and you're up 10-0. And you wound up getting only 12 more points the rest of the game, almost 4 more quarters.
9 more in regulation, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I look at a defense that has given you problems and a defense that other teams emulate, and that's also given you problems. And yeah, it's a home game, and I get that. and that should give you a little bit of a boost, but you're barely a favorite. You're a one-point favorite, and I know that Kansas City at 5-0 might not be more motivated than the Niners. I don't even know what that means when it comes to NFL players when you play 17 games, and I don't think that any of these games are like, okay, this is like the fourth game in five nights in the NBA, and you know we can't wait to get home, and we're going to go ahead and mail this in, and if it doesn't go well early, no, we're going to go ahead and punt on the game.
It's none of that.
NFL motivation to me is a non-starter.
I didn't use that word. It's not about motivated. It's about desperate. It's about desperation, not motivation, for me. And I think we see this
What's the difference, though, between desperation and motivation?
The difference is humanity. The difference is human nature. Like, it's like they play in the preseason. Do they play as hard? No. Like
that's the preseason. Right, that's an unfair comparison.
If you talk to any NFL player, they will tell you that there is a different speed from preseason to regular season to late season to playoffs to Super Bowl. And nobody would ever be like, yeah, I was actually only going three-quarters speed.
Right.
But there is it's no different than if you were running from someone that you thought was going to hurt you versus if you were just running at a track event. Like, there's a desperation in there that is going to, like, it's going to move you. It's going to move you a little faster.
I don't buy that that's there in week seven.
Yeah. I mean,
and, you know, they can say it, and you know, if they go out
said
there and
it
they,
last
they show
week.
It.
They said it going into week six.
Right. Desperation.
And they played well.
They and sure they, did. And they won. Against a lesser team.
Yeah,
and now you're playing
team.
Kansas City, two-time defending champ at home. And so, yeah. I mean, for me, the idea of desperation is, okay, wild card game or playoff game, or you win or you don't go to the playoffs. That's desperation. You can contrive it, and you can think that you're desperate in week seven. I don't necessarily buy it. And, you know, you can draw the line between the Jimmy G Niners and the Brock Purdy Niners, and that's fair to do because Brock is better than Jimmy. But for me, the overarching reality is that Kyle versus Andy, it's been Andy, not Kyle.
So fill in the blank then. Which one do you want to pick?
Oh, they're going to lose.
Okay, because?
Because of special teams. Your special teams are no good. And that, to me,
well,
you've got your third-string kicker, and you've got a special teams that has been very, very unsuccessful, that to me is the big issue.
That's a fair concern. That's a completely fair concern. All right, so 888-957-9570. And there's a couple things on the table. Do you view Brock's Niners as a completely different entity than Jimmy's Niners? That's one. But pick a side. Pick a side. I mean, today's for you. Sean Salisbury is going to be on in 45 minutes, but we'd really like to just like soak in the excitement of today. So the Niners are going to win because, or the Niners are going to lose because. We'd love to know what you think in terms of how this is going to go. We're brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. Your call's next, Willard and Dibs.
When you look at the Niners receivers between Juwan Jennings and Debo and Brandon Ayuk, who is the best man beater of the trio?
That's a great question. That's a tough one. I mean,
now back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Did we ever continue to listen? I want to share with everybody what happened there, because Dibs had the interview of his life yesterday. So
it's
question,
big.
And then Steininger played that, and then it ends, and everybody's like, so what did he end up saying? And we can't answer that because we were running around the room in circles.
True.
Throwing clothing articles, hats are flying across the room, people are unbuckling belts, people are just absolutely losing it because of what had just happened with Greg Cosell. So I can't even remember what did he end up saying. Do we have it, Grandy? All right, here it is.
You know, I've seen Ayuk, you know, win off the ball numerous times because he's got some quickness and some lateral quickness to him. Debo is more physical, and Jennings is more physical. So they're different players. I mean, I can remember in the Super Bowl where Snead matched up to Samuel in some critical situations, and he did a really good job against him in press. So, you know, press sometimes can be hard. We'll see. But they're going to get it. The question now, that is one of the critical pieces in this game.
All right, few things that we need to throw out there. So first of all, no, he never got to a definitive answer. He did say that Ayuk is good at it sometimes. Then he talks about Jennings, who, by the way, is out and is not playing in this game. I think also of note, if you have a really, really good ear, you can hear the fact that while Greg is answering this question, Dan Dibley is so excited that he turns his mic off and starts doing what we in the business call talk back. We have a little button in front of us.
Oh, can you hear that?
Oh, yeah. If you push it.
Oh, no.
If you push it, you can talk to our producers off air.
Shout out Salt and Pepper.
Okay.
Push it real good.
You turn your mic off and you talk back to Grandy because you are in a full-blown celebration sensation.
I was in tears.
But meantime, my mic across the room is still on.
That's awkward.
And so once again, a little Cosell, I want you to listen closely for the background noise.
You know, I've seen Ayuk, you know, win off the ball numerous times because he's got some quickness and some lateral quickness to him. Debo is more physical, and Jennings is more physical. So they're different players. I mean, I can remember in the Super Bowl where Snead matched up to Samuel in some critical situations, and he did a really good job against him in press. So, you know, press sometimes can be hard. We'll see. But they're going to get it. The question now, that is one of the critical pieces in this game.
I mean, you had him tied up in knots, but you didn't even hear his answer.
Doesn't matter his answer.
That, in the background, that was Dan Dibley's acceptance speech that he was practicing with Mark Grandy.
No doubt. Right. And sometimes the moment is bigger than the answer, and his answer was great. And, you know, he didn't really include the Ricky Pearsall piece, which now becomes more... I think...
Who was even thinking that? I wasn't even thinking that yesterday. Were you?
I wasn't really thinking about it. I thought that maybe for the Dallas game, but I really thought after the bye. But the more you look at Juwan Jennings with a hip, and if Juwan's out and you have Debo and Brandon and...
And who?
I won't even say it.
Don't say Ronnie Bell.
Well, that would be next up.
No.
And Chris Conley's been banged up as well,
yeah,
so...
Conley can make a catch. And
Debo and Brandon...
Cowan.
Debo and Brandon, yep. And
Ricky Pearsall.
And Ricky Pearsall. I mean, Jacob Cowling, I don't know if he's had a snap yet.
I don't think so. I mean, obviously on special teams, I don't think on offense.
Right.
Yeah. Kyle Shanahan, quote, the guys are pumped. He's had a hell of a week, and we're just pumped to get him out there with us. So apparently the guys are pumped.
They should be pumped. Yeah. And I think that they're pumped in part because he is a... team favorite, but also what he went through. And think about the way that all went down. They had a team party planned,
yep.
And Ricky Pearsall does an autograph signing at Cow Palace, I believe, and then he goes to Union Square, do a little shopping. I'm new in town, and I hear Union Square is the joint, so I'm going to go there and do a little bit of shopping. And he shows up, and he's shopping it up, and next thing you know, you've got some punk kid. And I'm going to say that because he's 17 and yep. He now is a felon and he's going to try to stick you up and you fight it because, you know, you're a pro athlete.
Because you're Ricky Pearsall.
Well, because you're a pro athlete,
yeah,
right?
And I guess.
Like, if I get somebody pulling a gun on me and I'm a 56-year-old father of three, just please take it all.
Take the watch.
Take it all. I'll give you everything. But when you're 22 and you are an alpha and you're a pro athlete and a first round pick, you're going to fight it. And he fights it and he gets shot. And it's like, oh my God, I got shot. And then a great SFPD officer runs over and all but saves his life. And, you know, you find out that it was a through and through, no organs, no,
unbelievable,
no real anything, right? Other than, okay, you have a bullet hole, two of them actually, because it goes in and out. Shout out the burger.
It's one hole, but yes.
Right. It's actually two holes.
Well,
it goes
you're saying
in,
they're two sides, but it's one hole. It's like a tunnel.
Inside.
Anyway,
and you get to this spot where maybe you can get ready to play and you practice, and now you have a guy who.
It's incredible.
A guy who normally plays ahead of you, and maybe he can't play. So the whole thing is set up to just an amazing moment on Sunday.
888-957-9570. Let's hear from you. People are jacked up, want to talk about this game. Let's do it. How about Rob in San Jose? Hi, Rob. Thank you for leading us off. What's going on?
All right. Hey, so Mark, man, when you bring up that Jimmy missed Kittle,
yep.
Right, that would have sealed that game in the Super Bowl, the same exact thing happened last year.
I disagree.
And Brock Purdy missed Brandon Ayuk on a slant on a cover zero blitz when his man creeps down the line of scrimmage, but it's third down, so I have to throw the ball to Juwan Jennings because that's my third down guy. He makes that completion. If you go back and look at the film, there is no one anywhere near Ayuk. No, he should have the sense to be able to make that play. We win.
No, but there's someone in Brock Purdy's lap in the form of a defensive lineman on that play. But, Rob, it doesn't even matter because I can't discount your point. Like, if your point is going to be, hey, Brock had a bad play once too, well, sure. That's not my larger point. The point I made about Jimmy was circumstantial to the conversation I was having with Dibs in that moment about that play. I was simply saying that in the Super Bowl 5 years ago, I think there are other plays that people don't point to that ended up being decisive in the game as well, not just the popular ones. If you want to back up, though, and talk about the larger question, I'd be curious in your answer. Do you find Brock's Niners to be a different entity than Jimmy's Niners?
Different entity? No, because Kyle Shanahan still prides himself on running the ball, and we still have largely the same scheme and fit of defensive players. Our defense was better in that year.
For sure.
Right? But Kyle still wants to run the ball. They still want to play good defense, and our special teams are still suspect.
Yeah, no, and I mean, if that's... finish up.
No. The larger question, are we going to win or are we going to lose? We are going to lose because our defense will not make the one stop or the one play that they need to make in order to win the game, because that's happened continuously this year and it has happened every game we've played against the Chiefs.
That's a fair concern, Rob. Yeah. Like, I mean, someone asked me this morning if I thought Kelce or Kittle would have more yards, and I kind of said lean Kelce, because I think Andy Reid is really good at putting matchups out on the field that he wants. And the idea of Devondre Campbell trying to, like, guard Travis Kelce in a passing play is terrifying. And I bet that Andy's going to find a way to make that a reality. So those are all fair answers. I see it very differently, the first question that you answer. To say that, no, it's still Kyle Shanahan and he still wants to run the ball, so therefore, the 49ers are the same entity with the two different quarterbacks. I mean, again, I'll just say, Andy Reid wanted to do the same things with Donovan McNabb that he does with Patrick Mahomes. Does it look different to y'all?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's all I'm saying.
And it looks different now than it did in February, yes, because of what the Chiefs have. They don't have Rashee Rice, and they have a lot of the other weapons, but they don't have their main running back. And so when you go back and look at the tape on what Kansas City's doing, they're doing a lot of what Kyle Shanahan does, which is, and Kyle does 21 personnel, but when he does, a lot of times he moves Juszczyk up to a tight end spot. So it's really 12 personnel, one running back, two tight ends, but one of them is an actual fullback. And you watch Andy, and it's 12 personnel, it's two tight ends, one running back, and sometimes it's three tight ends, and they do everything off of that. And they have Kelce, who could be a wide receiver. So they move him out like the Niners do with Kittle and like the Niners do with McCaffrey. And so the way these two teams approach offense is a lot the same, except now they've kind of flipped because Kyle will look to throw the ball down the field and Andy and Mahomes will not.
Well, that may change this weekend too. Everybody can grab a stat and throw it out there. This one felt like it mattered to me when I saw it. Of every team in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs are number one in terms of limiting completion percentage for throws 10 yards or longer. They're number one in the NFL. The completion percentage of 10 yards or more downfield against the Chiefs is 33%. That is the best in the NFL. So what does that mean? Does that mean the Niners are not allowed to do it? No, they are, and they'll try, I'm sure. But I would bet that you see both teams try to sort of like get back to who they are, especially the 49ers. They're going to want to run the ball. And they may want to do things. You even heard Greg Cosell say yesterday, right? You need Brock Purdy to not just drop back and then start running around like crazy. Three-step drop, foot in the ground, deliver. And that's what we're used to. And they've gotten away from that a little bit. And I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get back to that and get the ball to Debo in space and things like that, get their yak numbers up. You know, everyone's worried about their yak numbers being down. Their yak numbers are down because they're throwing it downfield.
Exactly.
You can't yak. because they're like you do.
Although last game, Debo did.
He did.
Yak it up, dog.
Yeah, but half of it wasn't yak because the ball was in the air for half the throw.
That was a good 50 plus of yak.
Was it? I mean, it was a 70 something yard 76, touchdown.
And the ball went about 25 yards, maybe. Yeah,
at least. Anyway, yeah.
The point is, that was one of the rare times where they actually did yak it up.
They got some yak.
Because, you know, Debo caught it. He's like, oh, hey, safety. See you later. Thanks for flying on by. Shout out Top Gun. And then Debo was, you know, gonzo to the house. But most of this year has been a little bit of a reverse of what we think. Kansas City, we think of, oh, Mahomes, four wide. And I said this on Kansas City radio today, like, sit back there and sling it down the field. Tyreek Hill and Xavier Worthy, and I'm going to sling it. And now they're like total dink and dunk.
They don't do it. Yeah.
But the Niners do the opposite.
Totally.
Which is Brock goes back there and he tries to pump it down the field.
And some of that is the lack of Christian, because that's the guy who actually creates all those mismatches near the line of scrimmage and up against linebackers. And to have him not there changes the way you approach it. It absolutely changes the play calling and what you can try to do. And so you are seeing the 49ers push downfield a little bit more. Maybe they don't in this game. Maybe they don't. Especially with the blitz packages that Spagnuolo throws at you. Jonathan in the city is next up. Hi, Jonathan. Thank you for the call.
Hey, guys. Two reasons why the 49ers may win this game. Number one reason, I feel, is a very long shot. Pearson playing in his first game, and it kind of looks like John Taylor or Julian Edelman in their primes. Number two, and this is, I think they have to steal a possession or two and cash in, not kick field goals. But the one area that doesn't give me any kind of confidence of why the 49ers can't win this matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs, and you've heard me say this over and over again, this wide nine gap scheme is the main culprit. It's garbage. Why not run a zero, no gap scheme on defense? Hello?
That's Herm Edwards.
That's a
Thank
good
you,
hello.
Jonathan.
Yeah.
That's a solid four for your Herm.
I guess I always, whenever somebody kind of comes at it from that angle, I'm not going to dismiss it by any stretch, but like, it's the same scheme that has had the Niners have one of the top five defenses in the league for years now.
Right.
It's been working for a long time. So that's kind of maybe taking the conversation in a different direction. I do wonder that sometimes when people are like, this doesn't work, and why do they do it that way? And it's like, they've been doing it that way for a really long time. And it by metrics and by results, for that matter, it has had them as one of the top teams in the league for a long time.
Right.
So why do some of you think it doesn't work? It works. They've got a hole in it this year, I'd argue. Dre Greenlaw is out, and somebody nowhere near as good is in. And that's a problem. I'm not going to say that's not. It's a problem. But I don't know if that means you change your entire scheme.
Well, and when you change scheme, a lot of times you have to change personnel.
Yep.
So if you want to change scheme, and Jonathan is critical of the wide nine, and you look at Nick Bosa and when he lines up, it's like, dude, are you even on the field? You're so far out there. And yet Nick, you know, gets around the edge and he does the occasional spin, and they run some TE stunts where the tackle goes out and the end comes in. And you look at what they've done in the past, and you're right, Mark, the scheme has worked. And a lot of it is allowing the linebackers to come in and fill Fred and Dre when he's healthy. And so it's not as big of an issue when you've got speedy linebackers. And the whole thing is built on personnel, like Shanahan. His scheme is built on, in large part, who he has. And he builds it around a tight end who loves to block. More than he loves to score,
no joke,
he loves to block. His power rankings are his wife blocking, scoring touchdowns, I would imagine. And then maybe pro wrestling would be four. Maybe you could interspose
that
the bottom two.
That might be three,
two.
Yeah. Right. I think. And then his wife again before scoring touchdowns.
No doubt, getting punched by the wife.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got a fullback who is so great and so useful. And then you've got a quarterback who's smart. You've got wide receivers who love to block. All this is built on an identity, and that's Shanahan. This is not, you know, a guy with a quarterback who, like, for example, McVay. They always go 11 personnel. They never do two tight ends until you lose both your wide receivers. And now you're like, damn, I have to go to two tight ends because I have no wide receiver, and it's not working because everything's built around Puka and Cooper. Cooper and Puka. So this team is built around that identity, And it's the same thing on defense. It's built around the wide nine and, you know, Bosa setting the edge and getting around the outside and all the rest of it.
Do you view Brock's Niners and Jimmy's Niners as two totally different entities? 888-957-9570. How about Buddy in Walnut Creek? Hi, Buddy. Thanks for calling. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm just going to kind of start off with wow, wow, and wow. I can't believe some of the comments. I mean, to think that, of course, there's such a dramatic difference between Brock Purdy's 49ers and Jimmy G's.
Thank you,
buddy. I mean, it's not even close. I mean, is there a difference between Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs, and Alex Smith, Chiefs? I'm going to say yes.
Both
very good quarterbacks. But I'm going to throw a few things out here, guys, and I call it the if. The if then. If we don't have a holding penalty when Colin Kaepernick's playing the Ravens, we win the Super Bowl. If we intercept the ball against the Chiefs a few years ago, we win a Super Bowl. If we make a field goal or an extra point last year, we win the Super Bowl. If we make a couple plays this year, we're 5-1. No one's caring about it. The difference between the Chiefs and Niners is very, very small, and the difference is the guy that plays for the Chiefs. And he's the man. I mean, and we all know that. But here's what I think is going to be the difference in the game. I kind of liken this a little bit to the Eagles game last year, where after they beat us up, and granted, Brock was out of the game in the NFC playoffs a couple years ago, and they were on fire at the top of the league, and everyone's touting them as they're going to just go out and do it, and we just put an absolute beating on them. Now, am I suggesting we're going to do that to the Chiefs? No. But the reality is, to win a close game is going to be tough. And I think really the difference is, it's such small plays. The Chiefs have been starting poorly and finishing greatly. The Niners have been starting greatly and finishing poorly. So which one of those scripts is going to flip? And that's what I think is going to happen this week, is we're going to flip that script. Not only when are we going to start strong, we're going to finish strong. And I think the difference is actually, ironically, going to be a special teams play.
Oof.
We're going to block a punt, maybe a field goal.
That's terrifying.
Maybe we're going to do something a little strange. Maybe we're going to do a fake punt. I don't know, because we've had our pants down on special teams this year. I think that's going to be a big, big focus. And I just think Brock Purdy, as you guys mentioned, yes, it is a different entity without a question. And I actually really, really like our chances, not so much because – I love the 49ers, which of course I do. But, you know, if we're 5-1, we're probably talking about this game a lot different.
Well, of course we are. Yeah, absolutely. Buddy, that's a good call. Thank you very much. I mean, the characteristics he talked about there are not complimentary necessarily to Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers as a group. You know, when you say, hey, the Chiefs have been starting poorly but finishing well, and the Niners have been starting well but finishing poorly, well, that's a terrible characteristic. You know, it's kind of like, we know you love golf. You ever have one of these days where you hit the ball terribly, but you putt well?
Yeah.
And what happens? You score well.
Yeah.
But what happens when you...
That's all my rounds.
When you hit the ball really well, but you putt like crap. Well, that's what the Niners have been doing. Boy, are they good off the tee. Whoa, 275 down the middle, boom, every single time. And their iron game, pretty good too. Pretty good, too. They're hitting GIRs, for those of you who play. They're nailing them. And then they pull out their putter, and they whack the ball all over the green. 3-4 putts. And you get out of there with your little double bogey, and you lose. That's kind of what the Niners are doing right now, as opposed to the Chiefs. And you can have confidence in them flipping the script. I hope you're right. I don't know necessarily why it would, but he's right. It needs to. That's exactly what they need to focus on. And it's a little bit conceptual, so I don't know how you focus on it. I don't know, what is the? How do you practice finishing better? I don't know.
Well, you can't practice it.
Right. Well, then how do you get better at it?
Well, you put the people in position to succeed that maybe are more experienced in that. And you had J.P. Mason, undrafted free agent, who... has been elevated to RB1 and he fumbles, and you've got, you know, a kickoff coverage team that is probably, or a punt coverage team rather, that's not super experienced, and you have young guys blow assignments. You have a second year kicker who misses a kick, and you know, you can look at all the little things. You have a backup linebacker who you've played a ton, who is 28 or 29 and slow of foot, and you're asking him to do things that maybe he can't do. So there are all these little things where, yeah, you have to be able to close, and that's one thing they haven't been able to do.
888-957-9570 is the number. The Niners are going to win this weekend because, or the Niners are going to lose this weekend because. Go ahead and fill in that gap, 888-957-9570. I would answer it. The Niners are going to win this weekend because, A, they're at home, B, they need this more, and the team that needs it more usually does. And C, I am denying this idea that the Niners, quote, never beat the Chiefs. These are Brock's 49ers, not Jimmy's. They're 0-1, and it was razor thin. We can continue to get into that. Sean Salisbury is going to join us in about 20 minutes. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And we're brought to you by Crystal Geyser, Alpine, Springwater. It's Willard and Dibbs.